Chapter 21. Capture. Even though I'd proved my innocence, I ended up in the back of a police car. Only now I was a guest rather than a prisoner. Bubba was at the wheel. Marge was riding shotgun, and Mom and Dad were wedged in the back seat on either side of me. Tracy Boyd had demanded that I go along to help ID Vance Jessup. This made Marge even angrier than before. She could barely even look at me. Instead, she stared out the windshield, her jaw clenched so tightly I thought her teeth might shatter. Since Vance was a minor, Bubba was still on the case, as were his fellow juvenile officers, who were following us in a second police car. Bubba had called Principal Dillnut at my middle school, who had confirmed that Vance was there. Once he'd learned of the crime, Mr. Dillnut promised to take Vance to detention immediately and keep him there until we arrived. Now we were all racing down the road toward town at 90 miles an hour, sirens wailing. It was as much fun as some of the thrill rides at Fun Jungle. Vance's hands and fingers are all bandaged up, I explained as we rocketed along. I thought it was because he'd been in some fights, but Kazoo obviously did it instead. Vance's hands weren't hurt until after Kazoo was stolen.
There's a thousand ways someone could get their fingers banged up, Marge said grumpily. That's not enough to convict someone.
We can check under his bandages when we get there, Dad said. The bite marks ought to be pretty obvious.
And what if he claims a dog bit him instead? Marge asked.
Then we bring in an expert, Mom said. I'm sure that any of the zoo vets can tell the difference between a dog bite and a koala bite. Plus, there's other evidence against Vance, I told Marge. Like the tip you got to search my room for koala fur and poop. That had to be from Vance.
How so? Marge asked.
Because of when you got it, I explained. If someone had really wanted to frame me for stealing Kazoo, it would have made sense to call you days ago, right after the theft. But you didn't get the tip until yesterday afternoon. Vance must have known you didn't have any idea who he was. He was going to get away with the crime, so what's the point of going through so much trouble to plant the evidence in my room and alert the police about it? Marge looked at me blankly. This obviously hadn't occurred to her. He did it to settle a score with you, Dad concluded.
Exactly, I agreed. I embarrassed Vance really badly in school yesterday. He wanted to get even. That's why he framed me, not because he was worried about getting caught.
What'd you do to him? Bubba asked.
Dunked him in the toilet of doom, I replied. Then I thought to add, it was self-defense. Bubba laughed out loud.
I can see why I'd be embarrassed, all right.
He turned to Marge.
You recorded the call, right? We could try to do a voice match with this Jessup kid. Between that and him having bite marks on his hand, I'd say that's all the evidence we need.
Dad said, it'd be better if you could just get him to own up to the crime and tell us where the koala is. We need to find Kazoo fast.
There's just one thing that's missing here, Marge said stubbornly. A motive. Why'd this kid steal the koala in the first place?
Because he's a jerk, I said. He does mean things all the time. He's the kid who forced me to dump the fake arm in the shark tank the other day. He probably just saw the opportunity to cause trouble and he took it.
Marge shook her head. Doesn't sound very convincing to me.
Mom said, you didn't seem nearly this concerned about motive when you tried to arrest Teddy.
Teddy has a history of causing trouble, Marge countered.
But he's never stolen anything, Mom shot back. I'll bet this Vance Jessup has. She looked to Bubba for confirmation.
Bubba nodded. We've had a few run-ins, but only for little stuff. Shoplifting and such. Nothing like this before.
I considered the crime again. It did seem a little odd for Vance to swipe Kazoo for no good reason. I had the sense I was missing something, but I couldn't put my finger on it. My thoughts turned to the koala. If Vance had taken it, he hadn't put much thought into the crime. He'd really succeeded by blind luck. It was doubtful that the kid had the slightest idea how to care for an exotic animal. My guess was poor Kazoo had probably suffered greatly in Vance's hands. I wondered if he was even still alive. We skidded to a stop in front of my middle school. A second police car parked right behind us. We all piled out and raced up the front walk. It was lunchtime. The entire school was gathered at the windows of the cafeteria, excitedly watching the arrival of the police. Before we even made it to the school doors, Mr. Dillnut exited, looking very worried.
"Where's Vance Jessup?" Bubba demanded.
I'm not sure, Mr. Dillnut admitted.
What? Bubba shouted. I thought you put him in detention.
I did, my principal replied, but he got the jump on us. He told the proctor he had to go to the bathroom, and instead he must have fled the grounds.
How long ago? Marge asked.
Mr. Dillnut tugged at the collar of his shirt uncomfortably.
I'm not sure. Up to 15 minutes, maybe?
Bubba grimaced.
You could be anywhere in town by now.
He turned to the other police officers.
Get over to his house and stake it out in case he shows there.
The policemen raced back to their car and peeled out.
He's not going back to his house, Marge muttered. No kid with an ounce of brains would do that.
That's why the rest of us are going to comb the town for him, Bubba said. Maybe we'll get lucky.
I glanced back toward the cafeteria windows. Maybe we won't have to, I said. I'll bet Vance's friends know where he's gone. Without waiting for an answer, I ran toward the cafeteria. Everyone else followed me, but I got there ahead of them. I burst into the cafeteria and instantly spotted Tim Jim. It wasn't hard to find them, as they were a good 6 inches taller than almost anyone else in the school. Up until that moment, I had always been afraid of them. But I surprised myself, and everyone else, by storming directly toward them.
I need to talk to you, I demanded.
Xavier rushed into my path, apparently thinking I'd gone insane.
What are you doing? He asked. In case you've forgotten, these guys tried to shove your head in a toilet yesterday.
I haven't forgotten anything, I said, then slipped past him and yelled at Tim Jim.
Where's Vance keeping the koala?
Tim and Jim were thrown. They weren't used to kids confronting them like this. Both did their best to play dumb. Given that they were dumb, it shouldn't have been that hard, and yet they didn't do a very good job of it. It was a few seconds too long before one of them could figure out what a fake, innocent response might be.
What are you talking about?
You know exactly what I'm talking about, I said. Vance stole Kazoo, didn't he?
No,
they said at once, although it was an obvious lie. I was about to lay into them again, but before I could, someone behind me shouted,
"That's not true, and you both know it."
I spun around to find Violet Grace there. She seemed stunned that the words had come out of her mouth. Everyone in the room suddenly turned to her. Even my parents, Marge and Bubba, regarded her with surprise. She shrank under the collective gaze, looking guilty.
"You knew about this?" I asked.
Violet averted her eyes, embarrassed.
"Yes. Vance told me about the koala."
"Why?" I asked.
"Because he stole it for me," Violet said.
Everyone in the cafeteria gasped. Violet quickly tried to explain.
"I didn't ask him to do it. He just did it, thinking I'd be impressed or something."
"Why would Vance be trying to impress you like that?" I asked.
"Because he's had a crush on her since third grade," Xavier said.
Now the entire school turned to Xavier, surprised.
"None of you noticed?" he asked the crowd.
"Really? I know he's tried to keep it a secret, but the guy practically drools every time Violet walks by."
Violet blushed, embarrassed by this.
"I didn't know he liked me, not until he showed up at my house the other night with a koala."
The whole story suddenly came tumbling out after her. After keeping it bottled inside for the past 4 days, she couldn't contain it anymore.
"My parents were out at a school meeting, so I was all alone. And suddenly Vance shows up at my door, saying he has a surprise for me. He totally freaked me out. First of all, he was all cut up and bleeding everywhere. And then he pulls this koala out of his backpack and says he got it from me. I thought it was a stuffed animal at first, but then it jumped out and scared the holy heck out of me. I always thought koalas were cute and all, but this one was mean. It started running around my house, squealing like a pig, knocking everything over and totally destroying the place. I got up on the couch and told Vance to get it out, but Vance didn't do anything. Instead, he sat there, trying to explain that I should like him because he brought this crazy thing to my house. He said he was just going to get me some stupid stuffed koala at first, but then he realized he could get me a real one, which was like 1,000 times cooler. As if I'd ever want this stinky, screeching, freaky thing.
I thought back to the tapes I'd seen of Vance the night he stole Kazoo. He'd originally been holding a stuffed koala, the one he'd intended to give Violet. But then Vance had seen Christy leave the office door open, and so, on the spur of the moment, he'd decided to bring Violet the real thing instead, thinking he would really win her over that way. Then he'd swapped the toy for Kazoo, only it had all worked out far worse than he'd expected. I don't think he knew the koala would behave like that, I explained. He probably thought it would be like a living doll.
Well, it wasn't, Violet said. Vance is an idiot. He didn't think anything through. He said he'd gone to Fun Jungle to scope out the shark tank for some prank and then just swiped Kazoo on a whim.
I groaned, regretting the day I'd suggested the shark tank prank to Xavier even more. Not only had that led to Vance forcing me to pull the prank, but it had also indirectly led to the theft of Kazoo.
Why didn't you tell anyone about this? I asked Violet.
Because Vance told me not to, she replied. I think he really expected that I would just fall in love with him when I saw he'd stolen a koala for me. And he was really upset when I didn't. I mean, like, super angry. I told him he'd better take the koala back, and he said he couldn't, because then they'd know he stole it. So then I said I was going to call the police, and he said that if I did that, he'd...
Violet trailed off, looking scared.
Did he threaten you? Mom asked.
Violet nodded, fighting back tears, then looked to me again.
I tried to reach out to you anyhow, though. I gave you my phone number.
I grimaced, feeling like a fool. Under normal circumstances, I would have called Violet, even if I'd suspected she was only using me to get Summer. However, a lot of other things had happened that day. The truth was, I'd forgotten Violet had given me her number at all. But Vance hadn't, I realized. He'd been watching us through the cafeteria window. He'd seen Violet give me her number, and it had made him think I was a threat. Maybe he thought Violet was tipping me off about him and the koala. Or maybe he thought she was showing interest in me rather than him. Whatever the case, he decided to get rid of me. He had just learned I was a suspect in the koala's theft, so he snuck into our home and planted evidence in my room to frame me. He hadn't done it as revenge for embarrassing him, as I'd originally suspected. He'd done it to keep me away from Violet.
"Do you have any idea where Vance is keeping Kazoo?" I asked her. "It's important. He's dying."
Violet shook her head sadly.
"Vance took the koala from my house that night, and I never saw it again. I was hoping he would take it back to Fun Jungle, but when he didn't, I was too afraid to ask. And if I called the cops, he'd know I was the one who turned him in."
She shifted her attention toward Tim Jim angrily.
"But they'd know. Vance tells them everything."
We all looked toward Tim Jim, only to find that while Violet had been distracting all of our attention, they'd been sidling toward the door. Now they made a break for it. Bubba and Marge raced after them, but the boys had too big a head start. They were at the door before the police could take three steps. As Tim Jim opened the door, though, Ethan Sokol and Dash Alexander tackled them. The football players broadsided them so hard I could hear the wind getting knocked out of them from across the room. The twins ended up flat on their backs, the jocks pinning them to the floor.
"Tell us where the koala is," Dash warned, "or we pound both of you into dog food."
"Even you two meatheads aren't strong enough to do that," Tim shot back.
"Oh, it won't be just Dash and me," Ethan told him. "It'll be all of us."
He pointed toward the cafeteria. The entire student body nodded agreement. If there was one thing that could unite every single person in our school, it was saving a koala from Vance Jessup. Even a few of the cafeteria ladies joined the crowd. Tim Jim gulped in fear.
"His uncle has a garage in town," Jim blurted out. "Jessup Automotive. He's been keeping the koala there."
I turned back to my parents and the police. Bubba Stackhouse gave me the thumbs-up sign. This was the info he needed, and then waved for me to come quickly. I started toward him, but Violet caught my arm.
"I'm so sorry," she told me. "I should have told someone sooner. If that koala's dead, I'll never forgive myself."
"It's not your fault," I said. "Trust me, I know how intimidating Vance Jessup can be." Violet smiled, then released my arm.
"Go get him," she said.
I grinned back, then raced out of the cafeteria. The entire student body followed me. Jessup Automotive wasn't that far from school, and this was the most exciting thing that had ever happened in town. No one wanted to miss it. They swarmed past Mr. Dillnut, ignoring his demands that everyone get back to class.
"This is not a holiday," he yelled impotently at the crowd. "This is an unexcused absence for all of you."
Bubba, Marge, Mom, Dad, and I all piled back into the police car. We peeled out of the parking lot. Despite the urgency of the situation, I noticed both of my parents were grinning at me.
"What's wrong?" I asked.
"Nothing," Mom said cheerfully. "It just seems you've made a lot of friends."
"Who was that cute girl who gave you her phone number?" Dad asked. I could feel my ears turning red. "Nobody," I lied. "She sure looked like somebody to me." Dad looked at Mom, and they both stifled a laugh, as though this was all hilarious. I tried to change the subject. "Here's what I don't understand. Why would Van steal Kazoo just to impress a girl? How could he possibly think that would work?" "It wouldn't be the first time a man has done something incredibly stupid to get the attention of a woman," Dad told me. "In fact, I'll bet there isn't a man out there who hasn't made a fool of himself for love." He looked back at Mom, and they both smiled again. "I still don't get it," I said. "You will someday," Dad told me. "Maybe even sooner than you think." It didn't take long to cover the few blocks to the garage, especially since the police car could tear through town at well over the speed limit. Jessup Automotive sat at the end of Main Street, right on the edge of the small commercial district. It was an old-fashioned garage and gas station that had recently gone out of business. The windows were boarded up. Behind it was a large yard surrounded by a chain-link fence. The yard was a maze of storage sheds and broken-down cars that had been pilfered for spare parts over the years. Bubba braked to a stop by the gas pumps. He and Marge leaped out of the car, though when my parents and I tried to follow, they turned on us. "Stay here," Bubba told us. "It could be dangerous back there." "But," I began.
"When we find the kid, we'll bring him out here for you to ID," Marge said. "Now just sit tight and keep your nose out of our business, for once."
I tried to protest, but Mom signaled to me to let it go. Marge and Bubba slunk toward the boarded-up garage with their guns raised, like they were infiltrating a nest of professional assassins instead of going after a teenage boy with a stolen koala. They both seemed very excited to have an actual mission for once. "Idiots," Mom muttered. "They'll probably end up shooting each other." Bubba banged on the garage door.
"Vance Jessup, we know you're in there. Come out with the koala."
There was no answer. My parents and I climbed out of the police car. It was too cramped and stuffy to wait inside, but we heeded Marge's warning and didn't try to follow her. Instead, we waited by the gas pumps. Behind us, people had begun to emerge from the businesses on Main Street, intrigued by the police activity. They filed out of the real estate office and the furniture store and the diner. One man came out of the barbershop, halfway through a shave, his face still covered with lather. The garage door was open. Bubba and Marge slipped inside. A noise began to grow in the distance, a great murmur of voices. I glanced down Main Street. Several blocks away, a horde of students charged around the corner. It was my whole school, racing to see Vance's capture. A weird, piercing screech suddenly came from the junkyard. It sounded like a large bird being strangled. "That's a koala," Mom exclaimed. I'd never heard Kazoo make a sound before, but then I'd never seen him in distress. Vance Jessup burst out of a storage shed and raced through the junky cars, wearing a backpack from which the angry koala noises emanated. Since the police were blocking any exit through the garage, he ran for the chain-link fence instead. "He's out here," Dad called to the police, while Mom yelled, "He's getting away!" We heard Bubba and Marge scrambling somewhere back in the junkyard, but Vance had gotten a huge jump on them. He quickly scaled the fence and leaped to the ground. Now the only thing standing between him and escape was me and my parents. Before we even knew we were doing it, we were running to stop him. Mom and Dad flanked him on both sides, while I ended up facing him head-on. Vance froze, looking from one of us to the next, unsure what to do. He no longer seemed tough and menacing to me. Instead, he seemed like a scared, desperate kid. There were a lot of new scratches on him, including a slash of claw marks across his face. Kazoo was thrashing about in the backpack, screeching and howling. "There's no point in running," Dad told Vance. "There's nowhere you can go." "All we want is Kazoo," Mom said, trying to sound as soothing as possible. "His life is in danger. Just hand him over and we'll tell the police you cooperated." Vance relaxed for a moment, as though ready to give himself up. But then Marge and Bubba burst out of the garage and charged toward him.
"Get him,"
Marge howled. Vance bolted. As I was the smallest and weakest of the people boxing him in, he came right at me. Dad and Mom grabbed for him, but he dodged them. Without really thinking about it, I planted myself in his path. "Stop!" I yelled.
"Move it, loser!" Vance yelled back.
Although it only took Vance a second to reach me, 100 thoughts went through my head. I considered getting out of the way, but decided against it. Every moment still counted for the koala. So I stood my ground, even though Vance was much bigger than me and coming on like a freight train. My father's advice about how to deal with bullies came back to me. "Just pop 'em in the nose," he'd said. I never hit anyone in my life, but when I thought about all the things Vance had done to me, harassing me and threatening me with swirlies and framing me for a crime he'd committed, not to mention all the mean things he'd done to Xavier and dozens of other kids, and how he'd even threatened to hurt Violet if she told the police what he'd done, and how he'd been so rough with Kazoo when he'd stolen the koala, and probably had been even rougher over the past few days. The next thing I knew, my hand had tightened into a fist, and it was swinging right toward Vance's face. I connected harder than I expected, because Vance was running right at me. He could have gone around, but his inner bully had kicked in. He wasn't merely trying to get away. He was trying to flatten me in the process. I don't think it ever occurred to him that I might try to fight back. I caught Vance right on the chin, so hard that his teeth clacked. His head snapped back, and he wobbled on his heels. For a moment he stared at me in shock, as though unable to believe that I'd punched him, and then he pitched forward, passing out on the ground at my feet. Mom and Dad stared at him for a moment, then turned to Mom and grinned. "I told you that would work," he said. Mom sighed, but then stole a glance at me, and I could see that despite her best intentions, she was actually proud of what I'd done. She quickly turned her attention to Kazoo. Luckily, Vance had collapsed face first, so he hadn't landed on the koala, which was still thrashing about in the backpack. "It's all right, Kazoo," Mom cooed softly. "You're safe now. We're here to help." To my surprise, Kazoo calmed quickly, soothed by my mom's voice. Mom unfastened the clasps on the pack, and the koala poked his head out. He wasn't in good shape. He'd lost a lot of weight in the last few days. His hair was matted and dirty, and a few patches had fallen out. He shivered in the cold. It seemed he'd used the last of his energy trying to fight his way out of the backpack. Now he simply collapsed on his side. He didn't even try to fight as Mom picked him up and wrapped him in her jacket. "Is he going to be all right?" I asked. "Yes," Mom said. "Thanks to you." Dad put an arm around my shoulders. When Mom's back was turned, he winked and whispered, "Great punch, kiddo. Trust me, that guy's never going to bother you again." Marge and Bubba arrived, gasping for breath after their brief run. Marge looked like she was about to lay into me for getting involved in police business, but before she could, Mom said, "We need to get Kazoo to the animal hospital at Fun Jungle as fast as possible." "Of course," Bubba agreed. Then he turned to Marge and threw her his keys. "Take my car. I'll stay here with Vance. Get the Fitzroys and the koala back to Fun Jungle pronto." Marge wasn't happy about being ordered to chauffeur us, but even she knew it was pointless to argue.
"All right," she grumbled.
"Come on," Mom said to me, motioning toward the police car. "I don't need to go back to school?" I asked.
"I think you've earned a day off," Dad said.
As we headed for the car, my fellow students arrived in force. They all swarmed around us, expressing concern for Kazoo and gaping at Vance Jessup.
"We saw you deck Vance," Xavier crowed. "That was amazing."
Lots of other kids echoed this. Dozens who had never even bothered to introduce themselves to me now shook my hand and patted me on the back. I pushed through them all toward the police car. "I have to go," I told Xavier. "See you Monday."
"You bet," he grinned.
As I reached the car, Violet Grace emerged from the crowd.
"How's Kazoo?" she asked.
"He'll be all right," I told her. Violet sighed with relief, then glanced at Vance's prone body.
"Do you still have my phone number?" she asked.
I paused, halfway into the police car. "Yes?" The cheerleader gave me a shy smile.
"Then call me sometime," she said.